She scarce recognized it as hers any longer. It had all begun with a simple request from a man she loved like a father. A request to take a blade from the island of Milksham, all the way to the king's palace on the northern border of Naroki. She had agreed, reluctantly, but knowing that she couldn't in good conscience refuse. She'd expected the journey to be difficult, dangerous, and possibly fatal to her person. She'd sorely underestimated the potential for all three. The knife had revealed itself to be rather more magical than she'd been told. Her travels had led her to discover things about her past she wouldn't have dreamt in her worst nightmares. And the companions she'd collected along the way, or one of them rather, had turned out to be substantially more magical than she'd feared, all of which had led, in a most roundabout fashion, to her standing uneasily under the eaves of an inn, and feeling an unreasonable amount of trepidation at the thought of assaulting the fortress in front of her, so she could steal something that was critical to another battle she intended to fight in a place she most certainly didn't want to go. It wasn't the climbing over walls that bothered her. She had, during her long and illustrious career as a mercenary, ended more than one siege by slipping into a keep and convincing the recalcitrant lord there that it would be wise for him to just give up and give in, rather than face what she could promise would be a very long and unpleasant war. It wasn't even the theft that troubled her. Spoils were spoils, and, when fairly won, really couldn't be considered plundered goods. What bothered her was that the castle before her was so slathered in magic that even she could feel it from where she stood, 50 paces away. And she was preparing to be about her nefarious business with a man who should have known better. "This is a terrible idea," she said, not for the first time. Mokriar Humiak of Naroki stood next to her, with his arms folded over his chest, staring thoughtfully at the fortress in front of them. "We'll be in and out before anyone is the wiser," he said, also not for the first time. "Have you ever done this before?" she asked unwillingly. "Here?" "Aye," he said, but offered no further details. She supposed she didn't want further details. She suspected he did this sort of thing on a regular basis, to add to his already too large collection of spells. At least he had the benefit of not being bothered by the magic. She wished she could say the same for herself. But she wasn't one to shy away from the difficult. So she turned her thoughts back to the matter at hand. The keep had to be assaulted, and she needed to know the particulars of the defenses, so she wouldn't make any mistakes in the taking of it. "You said something about magic guarding the walls," she said, suppressing the urge to shiver from a cold that came from more than just evening mist. "You should tell me of it again." She looked up at Miach. "I wasn't listening when you tried before." He smiled as he turned her to him and pulled her cloak up closer to her chin.
"I imagine you weren't. So here is the tale. Several centuries ago, the headmaster, whose job it is to see to these sorts of things, determined that it would serve the wizards of Bushaka to know who walked in and out of their gates.
Or over their walls," she added.
"Aye, that too, I dare say," he agreed. "Master Kyanard crafted a spell that sets off an alarm in his chambers. If any but he who has presented himself to the gatekeeper uses any sort of magic within the boundaries of the castle, keeps the rabble out, I dare say."
"I dare say," she muttered. He studied her for a moment or two before he reached out and tucked a strand of hair behind her ear.
"You know, I wouldn't think any less of you if you stayed here."
"I can scale a wall as proficiently as you, my lord." He smiled briefly.
"You know that isn't what I'm talking about."
He glanced at the keep, then looked back at her.
"I fear, Morgan, that I will walk places tonight where you won't want to go."
She looked up at him, his face cast in deep shadows, and suppose she could have told him that what lay before them was the least of her worries. But she imagined he already knew that. She also could have reminded him that he was braving the place in front of them to fetch a spell for her use, not his. But she supposed he knew that already as well. This was merely another in a very long list of things he had done for her benefit alone.